I think in these times when there is an emergency or a crisis, you also see the positive side of people really supporting and helping each other. So I think that's what resilience is about, is when you're in these downtimes, how do you reach out, connect with others, as this podcast, you know, discusses, and thrive despite all of these negative pressures that we're feeling.
Hi, and welcome to Thrive, Connect, Contribute. I'm your host, Tony Lloyd. We tell positive stories from resilient people who thrive in life, connect with others, and contribute to the world in the face of adversity. Thanks for being with us today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Thrive, Connect, Contribute, and today's guest, Michelle Marins of We Sparkle. Now, before I go any farther, I just want to acknowledge that Michelle and I had this conversation before the death of George Floyd. And if we were having that conversation today, we might have a different conversation, and it definitely might take on a different tone. But we're presenting this in solidarity with all who are working to dismantle systemic racism. Think about this as Michelle's vision. She is out to create economic empowerment of women of color. And not only is Michelle a woman of color herself, but she provides a conversational AI for small business owners. And a lot of these small business owners are women of color. So think about your hair salon owner, a nail salon, a massage therapist. So here she is to tell the story. Here's Michelle Marins of We Sparkle.
Hi, my name is Michelle Marins, and I am the founder and CEO of We Sparkle.
So We Sparkle, that's an interesting name. So what is We Sparkle, and where did this name come from?
So We Sparkle comes from a mantra of mine that I've had the past few years, just through the ups and downs of my own life and my own career, remembering to not let other people dull your sparkle, and to really just let your light shine and to help others shine, so that together we sparkle. And I would repeat those words to myself, and that's really where the name We Sparkle came from, was just remembering those words and repeating them to myself, as especially in the times when I felt most down.
Wow. All right. So what does We Sparkle do then?
So We Sparkle helps small businesses save time and increase their revenues through our technology. One of our first tools is a conversational AI assistant, or a smart chatbot, that basically assists small businesses with their administrative and marketing tasks.
A smart AI assistant. Give me a typical customer for you.
We're really focused on appointment-based service businesses. This is because we're really passionate about helping small businesses owned by underestimated entrepreneurs. Over 90% of all businesses in the U.S. are small businesses, and they generate 2/3 of new jobs. And we're just seeing the huge impact that they have in the economy because of the shutdown due to the pandemic of a lot of these businesses. And a lot of them are suffering, and they're really the backbone of our communities. These are businesses that are on the main streets in every small town, big city that you see. So places like hair salons, barbershops, massage therapists, chiropractors, people who take appointments and see people are really the businesses that we're most focused on.
Okay, so let's get into this a little bit, because because those are the businesses that are shut down, right? And mm-hmm. And your business really was just getting off the ground when the pandemic hit, right? So mm-hmm. I bet, you know, you said you have this mantra about We Sparkle. I bet you've had to We Sparkle yourself a lot recently, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So like hair salons, typically it would be a AI assistant. Somebody can go onto their website or go onto their Facebook page, and then it'll pop up and it'll say, you know, hey, are you trying to make an appointment? How can I help? And then it intelligently goes back and forth and asks and answers questions and, you know, does the regular stuff. But right now those businesses are not operating. And so tell me what's happening with you personally, and tell me what's happening with your business.
So we did a beta test of this AI assistant back in January with a few salons here in Minneapolis, and the beta test went really well. Over the course of a couple of weeks, we were able to have the AI assistant book an extra $1,000 in services for the salons, help them connect with over 140 new customers. And so we're really excited about the success of that beta test, because January tends to be a bit of a slower month for salons. It's after the holidays, so there's a little bit of a lull, and it's really cold here in Minnesota, so people don't want to go out as much. And so that was a huge moment for us to see how much it was able to help people. And the salons we worked with were really grateful to have that extra income, especially now, you know, being shut down. Having that extra income back in January helps a little bit. But it has really been hard, because we were going to roll out the AI assistant to the public last month when the pandemic hit and a lot of the salons were shut down. And so we really shifted our work into just emergency mode, helping them stand up websites, accept online payments, offer gift cards, whatever way that they could bring in some income, whether that's setting up video conferencing with their clients and customers and you know, showing people how to style their hair during this pandemic, or, you know, basically do the things that maybe they weren't able to do in person. And it's been tough. I mean, even though there's been a great outpouring of support and help, it's still a lot and a little bit overwhelming for small businesses to navigate the different programs that they can apply for assistance. And a lot of it, it's not just the technical logistical thing, but just emotional support. One of the groups that I work with is called the Minnesota Healing Justice Network. It's a collective of 100 doulas, midwives, birth workers, healers, artists. And we actually have a daily check-in call that's really just to provide that emotional support, because it's a little bit of an overwhelming time. And sometimes it's nice to just laugh with someone else, or sometimes we even have little dance parties, or, you know, all kinds of, you know, people will post, oh, you know, does anyone need some food? You know, I can bring some food by, or whatever it is that you need. So it's not just the logistical or technical support, but the emotional support that's needed.
I would imagine the number one thing that hairstylists have to do right now is talk people away from the edge of cutting their own bangs, right? That's kind
of I've seen all kinds of things. People cutting their own hair. A lot of people have been cutting their own hair, or getting a roommate to cut their hair, or a partner. Yeah. You know, some salons have been sending out color retouch kits for people who, you know, color their hair and just need to do a touch up. So there's been a lot of creative thinking about how we can get around some of these things during this time of social distancing.
Yeah. Yeah. So Michelle, is this, I mean, like I've watched your journey for the last couple of years. And so I've seen some of the ups and downs, and, you know, you and I were talking before we started here. Entrepreneurship is a little bit like a game of chutes and ladders, right? So you're climbing the ladders, and all of a sudden you hit the chute, and then you're back down at the bottom of the board game, and you got to go again. Can you talk to me about like an experience you've had where you really had to dig into your personal resilience and move yourself forward?
This time is actually reminding me of another emergency crisis time in my life, which was my first job. Actually, after I graduated from grad school, I was a foreign service officer. I worked at the State Department, and there was a huge earthquake in Haiti that happened in 2010, and it was completely devastating. And it really was an emergency, a crisis situation where it was all hands on deck. I was working in the part of the State Department that helps American citizens who are overseas. And a lot of them were stuck in Haiti. You know, there weren't commercial flights going out. So there wasn't a way to evacuate people or even really get in touch with their loved ones. So we basically had different shifts. And I had the graveyard shift. So that was midnight to 8 a.m. in the morning. And we literally were going down the line trying to contact loved ones, let them know the status of their family members, you know, if we were able to locate them. We're also trying to locate citizens who needed food, shelter, emergency, the first aid. And so it was a rough time because actually during that same sort of period was when the snowpocalypse happened in DC. And so everyone was completely snowed in. There was a blizzard. Thankfully, I lived near the State Department, so I was able to just walk over. But we were, it was all hands on deck in the operations room, just trying to contact people. But, you know, in these emergency situations, when you're talking with people who are worried about their loved ones and the health of their families, I really saw some amazing things happen too. It was during that time at the State Department that we partnered with the American Red Cross and did a Text Haiti campaign. And this was one of the first big mobile campaigns that happened, where you could just text message Haiti and then it would donate $10 toward the earthquake relief efforts. Altogether, you know, $10 at a time, we were able to gather $43 million toward earthquake relief efforts. And so I think in these times when there is an emergency or a crisis, you also see the positive side of people really supporting and helping each other. I saw that back then during that time, and then I'm seeing it now. We just partnered with a few other organizations and businesses here in Minnesota, like All Are Welcome Here, Brio Marketing, and Minneapolis Craft Market, to do an auction to support mental health services during this time. So the National Alliance on Mental Illness here in Minnesota is working to provide mental health services online for people. And I think especially during this time, there's a lot of people suffering because of the uncertainty, and they really need access to these services. And so we basically just this past week hosted an auction of items that were donated by different artists and makers and small businesses. And we were thinking, oh, well, maybe we'll be able to get 25 items donated. We ended up getting about 140 items donated. You know, our original goal was, oh, maybe we can raise $2,500 to help NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, provide their services. And within the first hour, we smashed that record. And so we thought, oh, okay, we'll go for 5,000 now. And we did that in 5 hours. So we're like, okay, well, let's go big then. So we shot for 10,000. So we figured, you know, we're the land of 10,000 links. Let's bring $10,000 toward mental health support during this pandemic. And we're able to exceed that record. We just closed the auction yesterday, and we're able to donate altogether $12,000 to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, which is amazing. So even in these times when it's really tough and there's a lot of uncertainty and people feel overwhelmed and we're concerned about our health and our safety, you also see the positive side of people really supporting and helping each other and lifting each other up, because we all really need each other at this time. And so that's really, that kind of spirit is at the heart and core of We Sparkle, and that's what we're all about. And so for me, even in these hard times, I think that's what resilience is about, is when you're in these down times, how do you reach out, connect with others, as this podcast, you know, discusses, and thrive despite all of these negative pressures that we're feeling.
One of my favorite sayings is something like, you know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the second best time to plant a tree is today, right? And so these communities sometimes throw themselves together just sort of spontaneously, but a lot of this is work that you had been doing over a long period of time, right? Mm-hmm. That you had been building community, you had been reaching out to, networking in, becoming part of greater communities, and then creating community yourself. So why? You know, what is that thing that causes you to say, I have to connect?
I think it's because my parents are actually refugees from Vietnam. They were part of the first wave of refugees that came over in 1975. And we ended up in Kansas, in a really small rural farming community. So there weren't a lot of other families that looked like us growing up. And that could have been very isolating, but we were so blessed to have neighbors and people in our community who helped us, you know, find a house, find a car so that my dad could drive to his first job, find a job. So many people that connected with us and helped us when we literally had nothing. And so growing up, I've always been really grateful for those people that connected with us and helped lift our family up. And so I've always felt this need to help other people in the community. So no matter what I did in my work, I always knew that I needed to have service at the core of that and helping other people and improving their lives, because that's something that has benefited. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for others doing that for me and my family.
You know, people have been hanging around with you and me for the last several minutes. What's something you would call on people to go and do as a result of this conversation?
I have seen so many people reaching out in small and big ways. I would find things in your community that you can do, whether that's supporting a small business by buying a gift card for a future service, or, you know, doing a pickup delivery, whatever you can find in your community to help. I think there are small ways that you can help. And then in bigger ways, you know, once people are able to open up again, really patronizing some of these small local businesses, because I think they're the ones that have suffered the most during this pandemic, you know, because they often have very thin profit margins to begin with. So it's pretty devastating to have to close for over a month. And we've had people who've had to lay off employees or not be able to operate has had a huge effect on their livelihoods for themselves and for their families. So I think that's my call to action, is really just to support small businesses in any way you can, whether that's buying gift cards or participating in the auction like we had last week, or patronizing them when they're able to open up again.
So if people were looking for WeSparkle online or on social media, where would they look?
So we are located at WeSparkle.org. It's very easy. All exactly spelled the way you would think it would spelled. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WeSparkle.org. That's our handle.
Excellent. Michelle, thanks for being with us on Thrive, Connect, Contribute.
Thank you.
Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Thrive, Connect, Contribute. You can find show notes, bonus material, and more at thriveconnectcontribute.com. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll see you next time on Thrive, Connect, Contribute.